97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis. Bo Matthews is live from his compound somewhere in southern Missouri, fortified behind 6 inches of steel and concrete.
Underground, baby. That's the way to go.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I can't complain. Bo is practicing proper social distancing as we go through this coronavirus madness. So he is live from his basement this week, and we've got a great show for you. In just a couple minutes, we'll bring in Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who starts every show with us. We're also going to talk to Jesse from Razorback Armory today and Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman, who is not being slowed up. The bass, I guess, are unaffected by the coronavirus, and he is in a tournament at the Lake of the Ozarks this weekend, so we will get a live check-in from the water from Mike Marfell in just a little bit, so that's going to be fun.
That is. How are you feeling, first of all, both of you guys?
I feel healthy. I have no issues right now. How about you? You were the one that was sick before all this started forever. Have you bounced back?
I still go back and forth. I've been taking Benadryl to just clear my sinuses. I think it's a sinus infection. I mean, no fever, no other symptoms like what everybody's reading about. So it's just my normal spring thing, I think. I hope.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Chad? Yeah.
I've been feeling well. I know I was sick earlier.
You and Bo were sick about the same time.
Yeah, and it was just like came and went. I was kind of glad when it went and yeah. Glad it didn't come back.
Right. Well, everything was extended this week, at least from the federal level. The president suggested that we continue all the social distancing guidelines that have been in place throughout the country for the month of April, and that has had a major effect on the firearm industry, and that's what I want to talk to our friend Aaron Tarlow about right now. We're going to bring Aaron in the conversation, owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, great to talk with you. How's it going?
You too. How are you?
I am well. So every week we talk to you and it's a crazy situation. It has things slowed down, or when the president decided to extend this coronavirus situation another month, did that show another spike in sales of firearms and ammunition?
So we are rolling over inventory like you wouldn't believe. Mm. I just baffled is what it is. I went to the wholesaler. We have wholesalers, a few of them within driving distance. So I just like going over and meeting and greeting and being social like I normally am. And so I went over on a Friday with Piper and saw everybody at the wholesaler, picked up probably 6 to 10 cases of ammunition, 25 guns plus accessories. And by the time I got back to the shop around 12:30. We closed at 6. As we were getting ready to leave, about 6:15, 6:30, because we were just busy, 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 this little old lady pulls up and she goes, "You got any guns left, sweetie?" And I go, "Oh, got one left, dear." And she goes, "I'll be in a minute. I'm going to take it." And so literally we sold out every gun on that order by the time we closed. And she, for the curious minds, bought a 5-inch 1911 and 45 ACP. And she goes, "I really like the weight. I can't wait to shoot it." So I was just, you know, it was funny.
Yeah.
She was super excited. And then all the ammo, we had about a case left when it was all said and done. You know, and I about a few boxes of 45 and no 40, no 9, and a little bit of 380, some 10 mil. It was just absolutely baffling. Watched 18,000 rounds of 5.56 62 grain disappear in the course of about 2 days. Got more in and watched probably 8,000 to 10,000 rounds of that disappear easily. That doesn't even include 223 or 7.62 by 39. So everybody's definitely looking for ammo, looking for magazines, and lots of people that seem to be kind of new to the firearms world, or if not new, maybe never looked at it as a defensive weapon, are are coming in and shopping.
You know, I got a question for you, Aaron. When you go to the your wholesalers, are they only selling, you know, certain most common guns, or are you buying up the, like, extreme stuff as well?
And do they have any limits on how much they're selling to retailers?
Good question.
Hit me with that again. So the wholesalers will, every wholesaler sells, you know, Glock and Springfield, Smith & Wesson. And then when you get into the more niche guns, unique guns, like your Barretts, and then there's, you know, like Crest, Vector, and things like that, not every wholesaler is going to carry those. Same thing with ammunition. Some wholesalers carry, you know, Winchester or Underwood ammo. Underwood's going to be more of a niche ammo. So they're going to carry those. But pretty much everybody's going to carry your big mainstream names, your Remingtons, your Winchesters, your Wolf, your Lake City, your Federal.
At least for a little while, right? According to the FBI background check data, they say more than 2.5 million guns were sold in March alone.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. We actually crashed the system several times over. And so we were having to do it the old school way when we first opened, where you would call. And they were like, your call will be answered in 15 minutes. And about an hour and 10 minutes later, they finally got on the phone. And Jessica had 20 or 25 background checks at that point in her hands that needed to be run. So she's easing back, and the guys and I are up front, you know, selling ammo, selling guns, trying to keep things kind of organized, because it was just a mad rush.
Yeah. I got a question. Is on the other end, the background checks, are those actual humans doing it, or is it just an automated system that a computer goes through, make sure which boxes are checked, or is it actual people doing that?
So it's a combination. They have automated it. So let's say, you know, Bo, you come in and you don't have anything on your record, right? You're just clean, spickety span.
As far as you know, yeah.
And, you know, anything, yeah, criminal-wise that would disqualify you, your background check should come back anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes.
Gotcha.
If you get like a flag, a physical person will review that. And that could happen, immediately, or it could happen within three days. So it's both. So the automated system is nice because when you call the FBI to run these background checks, that's a physical person inputting that information into the computer. Instead of calling them, now we're just physically putting it in, and it's saying yay or nay, and or further review. So, you know, it'll pop up green, it'll pop up red. So green is yes, red is no, and then a yellow is a further review, meaning there's something there that needs to be reviewed by an actual physical human being to determine whether or not that person can purchase a firearm. And that could be, you know, it could be a number of things, but they're going to look and determine whether or not they can resolve it right then and there.
Aaron, back to the wholesalers for a second. Do they put a limit on you as a retailer on how many boxes of ammunition you can buy or firearms you can buy, or is it just as many as you can get? And then what do you do in the store there at Southern Armory? Do you put a limit on the number of boxes of ammo a customer can buy?
So that's kind of a mixed question. Mm-hmm. These wholesalers kind of do whatever they want. So some of them are saying, hey, yeah, we've got a one case limit, a two case limit. There's no limit. Take as much as you want because we have plenty. And then when we get into the store, you know, we're limiting everybody to two boxes per type, right? So if we have, you know, three different types of 380 back there, well, then you can buy six boxes of ammunition. We are at some point going to say, hey, we need to make sure we save, you know, hey, we've got four guns on the wall that take this type of ammunition. Let's pull off four boxes. So at least when somebody buys a gun, they've got some ammunition to go with it. Every retailer is going to be a little bit different. When it comes to the firearms, some of the manufacturers are limiting you to one or two. Some are saying, hey, we've got 100 of them. Take as many as you want. So it's just kind of a case-by-case basis at the discretion of management, wholesalers. And then when you're going to your stores around town, same thing with them. You know, they're, if they know that they have 10,000 rounds, you know, well, we're not going to limit stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, now if somebody comes in and wants to buy all 10,000 rounds, that's a little suspicious. And I think from a standpoint of a retailer, I think you're going to go off and, you know, sell that for $2 or $3, you know, a round when you're buying it for, let's say, 50 cents a round. Yeah. So we try to keep that, the hoarding down, so to speak, as much as we can. Back when we had the big rush and 22 was hard to get, I got about a half a pallet of 22 long rifle, and we were selling it for, I think, $35 for a case. You know, it was one of these big boxes with 500 rounds or something in it, and people were just, how much can I buy? How much can I buy? And it was like two cases. You know, we give you two boxes. That's what we'll give you, and that's 1,000 rounds of 22 long rifle. And we had people that were like, well, I want to buy a whole case, which is 10 500-round boxes. And it's like, no, because, you know, the suspicion was is you're going to go off and sell it. At the time, you know, other dealers were selling that same box for $60, $70. So, you know, when you want to buy that much, the little flag goes up and says, you know,
yeah,
the people who want to get it are going to come to you and say, I'll take a box. Because it's 500 rounds, it's going to last a while.
That is Aaron Tarlow, and Southern Armory is open for business. So if you need to get your get a firearm, or if you need to get ammunition, go out there to Southern Armory and check them out. Aaron, all the details on how people can find you.
Yeah, so modified hours, we're opening at noon, closing at 6. We're closed on Sundays and Mondays now. You can find us on Southern Armory. On Facebook, that's going to be the best way. We're going to show you when we get inventory in, what we have. We just bought recently an estate with a bunch of suppressors and rifles and handguns. So if you're looking to get a used suppressor at a good price, you know, less than a new one, obviously, this would be a really good time to jump on that. And then SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
He was ready.
Go ahead. And then, of course, we're located 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road in beautiful Crestwood, Missouri.
Yes, very good. Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, thank you for your time, sir, and we will talk to you next week.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Yes,
bye.
Absolutely. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk to Jesse from Razorback Armory, see how things are going out there, and then we're going to talk to Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman who is on the water. As I mentioned, the bass tournament's apparently not getting canceled or postponed, and so we will check in with Mike Marfell in the great outdoors a little bit later on. Don't go anywhere. Got a great Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad. Bo Matthews is in the Matthews compound in southern Missouri practicing proper social distancing. Everything's still okay over there, Bo?
I just landed on my helipad. I'm ready to roll with you guys.
Very good.
And laugh all you want, buddy.
I want to remind folks that we put out two podcasts of this show every week. We put out the podcast of the actual show, and we release that before the show airs, which is something that I don't know that anybody else has ever done. But we put the show podcast out on Fridays, which gives you a chance to take the show with you if you are out and about enjoying the great outdoors through your weekend and you don't have time to listen to us on 97.1 or on KMOX. You can just download the podcast and have us with you anytime you want. And then on Mondays, we post our podcast exclusive, some content that you can only get on the podcast. Now, there's many places that you can get our podcast, but I think that the best place to get it is the Radio.com app. Radio.com app is fantastic. It's basically one-stop shopping for the entire radio station. You get the app, you can download the app for free, then you favorite the radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the Radio Rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. So make sure you're checking that out on the radio.com app. And as I mentioned this week in the podcast exclusive, we are going to be talking to our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman who is in a bass tournament as we speak. So he's going to be joining us in the next segment, and then he's going to stick around and do that podcast exclusive with us. So going to be some really great fishing talk with Mike, who is on the water in a tournament right now. So that is going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you're sticking around for that in the next segment, and make sure you're downloading both podcasts every week. And right now, as we mentioned, our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory, Jesse Rolsis. Jesse, I never know if I'm pronouncing your last name right. Rolsis, is that how? Is that, am I right?
Yes, Rolsis.
There you go. Very good. So we were just talking to Aaron at Southern Armory. Are you guys experiencing the same thing there at Razorback? Is it still extremely busy, or have things started to settle down yet?
It's still busy. I mean, obviously busier than normal traffic. We are seeing it somewhat. It's not the crazy panic where we had the lines out the door and everything, you know, as of like 2 weeks ago. But it's getting more to a steady flow, but definitely more business than what we would have at this time if nothing else was going on.
And for social distancing, you're actually abiding by that with a pretty cool plan. You allow, is it two customers in the store at a time?
So we're doing three customers in at any given time. So basically, two, that also helps us with, so there's three of us in the shop, myself, Kenny, and Brad. So everyone has kind of, you're always one-on-one, so we'll get you taken care of and then, you know, get you what you need and then get you back out. You know, cleaning, I've touched more disinfectant and hand sanitizer in 3 weeks than I have in 30 years.
Tell me about it.
You know, we're... But, so we're, you know, we're constantly cleaning and disinfecting and that. We also have an hours by appointment. I have some customers who surviving cancer patients and things. We actually bring them in first in the morning by appointment, so they're the only ones there, get them taken care of, and then get them back out so they're the only ones in the building. So they don't have to worry about any cross-contamination, anything like that. But, yeah, it's just a whole new it's a whole new situation that we're adapting to and trying to do business under.
Is it still ammo that's the big hot item? Ammo seems to be the toilet paper of the gun industry right now. Is that still what you're experiencing?
Yes, ammo is definitely the toilet paper of the gun industry. so that's our lead call or walk-in customer, but it's firearms. I have sold more firearms to first-time gun owners than ever in my whole gun selling career. And we're taking as much time as we can to really inform them about what gun ownership is, you know, and bringing them into the culture and not just here's a gun, here's some ammo, you know, good luck. It's really, you know, this is a very important decision you're making. You know, you need to get some training, you need to have safety, you know, and really, really walking them through the process to the point where it's almost overly doing it, you know, but they come in, they're scared. They don't even want to hold the gun, you know, and we're trying to get them, you know, past that, but get them to know that, you know, this is something that they're doing. It's a choice that they're making to be able to defend themselves, you know, use their Second Amendment right, but also they're buying responsibility. You know, they have a responsibility as a gun owner, to, you know, to secure it and learn how to use it and use it appropriately if necessary.
And, Jesse, here's a problem, though. Some of the gun ranges that are around here are closed. And so my recommendation to a couple of people that reached out to me said, where can I even try out my new gun? I said, you know, try and reach out to somebody that lives rurally, and maybe they've got a piece of property that you can go out and, you know, shoot some targets or cans or something. But are all gun ranges shut down as far as you know, or what do you know about that?
So I know there are some of them that did close. There are some that are still open. They're obviously kind of practicing the same stuff we are. They are limiting, I believe they're limiting how many people are on the range at a time. You know, you may have a stall in between you that's unused. I'm pretty sure Ultimate Defense is still open and running in St. Charles. The last time I checked, the guys at the range out in Baldwin were still open. I know that they've stopped like classes and stuff, you know, like some different things and even one-on-one training. They've stopped a lot of that, but I believe you can still go in and practice and shoot.
Jesse, besides firearms, are there other defense items that people are buying, like pepper spray, tasers? Is there been a run on that as well, or is the focus on guns?
We have been selling that. The focus has been mainly on firearms. Kind of early on, obviously this has been blowing up for close to a month now. Early on, I think if you did a Google search on what do I need to buy for the end of the world or pandemic, and it was a Glock 19 and a pump shotgun, because we sold, they would walk in and say, do you have a Glock and a pump shotgun? And I was like, yeah, which one do you want? there's more manufacturers.
I don't know. Google says things. I need them both. So
that's what Google told me. So I got to go get them. And then, you know, then we kind of saw that trending. So we were really saying, hey, you know, yes, those are great guns. You know, that's definitely good for home defense. It's definitely good for personal defense. And then, you know, started having those conversations with them to make sure that they were comfortable with that, and that was something they would use. And yeah, some people were buying, some people did buy mace, pepper spray, tasers so much, not a lot. But, you know, everybody wanted, you know, is it hollow point bullets? Can I get hollow points? Yes, you can have hollow point bullets. You know, this is for ball ammo, for shooting paper or whatever, you know, targets and that's inexpensive. Learn how to shoot your gun. And if you do need to use your weapon to defend yourself, you want a bullet or a projectile that's going to come out and do as much damage and as much stopping power as possible. And you know, give them that relationship to, you know, how different things work with the gun and different ammunition, and try to bring them up to speed and get them into the gun culture. But not in a way that, you know, that they feel that they're learning at a pace that they can absorb it, but not making them feel bad that they didn't know it in the first place. Mm-hmm.
But Jesse, I hope you'll agree that, you know, anybody that's a first-time gun owner, hear me clearly. You need to shoot and do target practicing with that gun, because there's been people, even myself included, years ago, somebody handed me a 12-gauge shotgun for the first time. It scared the crap out of me. So you need to know what to expect if it's ever needed in an emergency, correct?
Absolutely. And we've had people that come in and say, so if I just buy this and I take it home and I put it in a drawer, and when all this is over, I can just bring it back, right? And I'm like, no, that's not how this works, and that's not how you want to do that.
You just made Chad laugh out loud that people were asking that question. He was
Here's the best part. It wasn't one person. That was multiple people.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I put this in the closet? Can I put it in a drawer? And our situation to that is, too, you don't want it to be as big as a surprise to you as it is to an intruder when that gun goes off. Yeah. You know, you want to know everything about that gun, how it's going to operate. And that goes back to the responsibility of being a gun owner and that initial conversation. And I feel that most people we've talked to really get it. I'm sure, honestly, that some of the guns we sold, probably those people went home and put it away and pray they never look at it.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because they really should go and shoot it. Because the neat thing is, we've sold some guns, and people have come back and bought some more ammo because they were like, man, this was fun. I went to the range to test it out, and goes, man, I can't believe I've never shot a gun before. This was a lot of fun. You know, it was exciting to them. And that's really, I mean, this whole situation that's going on is horrible. We need to get past it. You know, we need to keep our social distancing. We need to get all that done so we can go back to the fun stuff. And at least this is now somebody who's in the gun culture who will take that gun out and go to a gun range and shoot it for enjoyable purposes, not just, you know, put it in a drawer and pray it doesn't need to use it.
Talking to our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory, kind of on that same line, Jesse, are the majority of the customers coming in right now existing gun owners that are just stocking up, or are you seeing the majority of the customers being first time gun owners?
Oh, I'm 75% at least new.
Wow.
New gun owners, or what's kind of neat too is gun owners who maybe have some hunting gear, you know, a rifle or a shotgun, but they've never really been into defensive pistol or carry pistol. And it's never really been on their radar. They weren't thinking about, you know, getting their concealed carry or carrying a weapon. And they're coming in and not being as versed in those things. You know, we're trying to bring them up to speed on that. But it's really much more new gun owners. Now, my existing clientele, they're coming in, you know, not as panicked or is you know, they're used to gun shops. They're used to the gun culture. So when they come in, you know, we're kind of having a fun conversation and they're picking up some more ammo. You know, they're stocking up. And we've limited ammo purchases so that we can supply as many customers as we can. I won't let you buy all the 9mm in the shop or anything like that. And, you know, really to try to stem some of that craziness of just, you know, just sheer panic and buy it all.
Well, Jesse, we appreciate your time, man, a whole bunch for being here and on the show. You want to detail out your hours, and of course, you're down to three customers in the store at a time because it's not a real big store, but the specialty work you guys do is phenomenal. You want to just describe your hours that people can expect and your phone number. Of course, RazorbackArmory.com is the website. You can get the number there, but talk to me about your limited hours.
So right now, we're still trying to operate in which we are, standard hours. So it's Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That way you can just go right into the show and start listening to it on Saturday. And then basically we're 3 in, 3 out as far as people in the shop. And everybody's been adhering to that really well. You know, if they look inside, they see there's three people, they just kind of hang outside. And if it's going to be a minute, we'll kind of talk to them, say, hey, if you want to wait in your car or something, we'll come get you. Easiest way to get a hold of us, like you guys said, RazorbackArmory.com, phone number 314-394-1730, social media, Razorback Armory. We're constantly answering questions for people. If you do have a need or you have a compromised immune system, and you would like an appointment to come in and pick up a transfer or pick something up, absolutely call and talk to me, and I will schedule you a time that we'll get you taken care of.
Jesse, how long have you been doing this?
So gun industry, 15 years full-time for the last 13, I think it is.
Have you ever seen anything that comes close to this, or is this just a once-in-a-lifetime unique situation?
So with all of the craziness that's happened before, so being a St. Louisan, you know, when the Mike Brown case hit, people kind of, you know, there was a little bit of a run on gun stores then because no one knew it was going to happen. Leading up to different presidential elections, there was tons of run on guns and ammo.
Mm-hmm.
This has blown that out of the water because of the new people who, I mean, some of these people, I swear, are probably anti-gun, but now they're so happy that you can walk into a gun shop, fill out a form, get a government background check, and purchase a firearm and leave with it that day. You know, that our gun laws are really friendly to gun owners.
Yeah.
But the amount of new customers, the amount of people that are really, you know, taking a hard look at, you know, what do I have to defend my home, my family, and making that decision, you know, which is a good decision to go and get, you know, go get a firearm, get training, get that safety aspect done. I've never seen it before in my life.
Unbelievable. Jesse from Razorback Armory. Make sure you check him out at RazorbackArmory.com. Jesse, thanks for your time today, and thanks for everything you do for the show.
Hey, no problem, guys. Be safe. I appreciate it.
You too. We'll talk to you real soon.
You too, man.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we get back, we are going to go out onto the water. Our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman, is in a bass tournament as we speak, and we're going to check in with him live from the boat and see how things are going. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. Bo Matthews is practicing proper social distancing and is live from the Matthews compound in southern Missouri. And in just a moment here, we are going to check in with Mike Marfell, who is at the Lake of the Ozarks fishing as we speak. I am extremely jealous of that. Before we get into that, I want to remind folks to download our podcast, two podcasts of the show that we release every week. The first one goes out on Friday. That is the show podcast. So we actually release the show on podcast before it airs. So you can take it with you if you are going fishing this weekend or any other weekend, and you want to have the podcast of Second Amendment Radio, The Great Outdoors, with you, just download it on Fridays and you have it for the entire weekend. And then on Mondays, we release our podcast exclusive, which is a conversation that you can only hear there on that podcast. And joining us in that podcast exclusive this week is Mike Marfell, who's going to be with us here in a minute. So we'll talk with Mike a little bit here on the show, and then we'll continue that conversation in the podcast exclusive. Make sure you are downloading those podcasts every week. And as Bo says, always share them as well.
Yeah, and especially if you're listening to it through the podcast right now, share it. Just think, my buddy Steve would love to hear that, and share it.
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. And since we're talking to Mike, who's out fishing in the great outdoors, this segment is brought to you by
Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory, full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been in business a long time. They know what they're doing. A half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. Go on in to Razorback Armory and online at RazorbackArmory.com.
So I am guilty of delivering some fake news earlier in the show. I've been promoting that Mike is coming up and talking to us and that he is at the Lake of the Ozarks fishing. And all of that is true, but I said he was fishing in a tournament this weekend that was still ongoing, but I was wrong about that. That tournament has been postponed. So, Mike, we certainly appreciate you joining us. How's it going? And give us the update. You said that even fishing tournaments now are being postponed due to this coronavirus situation. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Even the highest level, the pros, the Bass Pro Tour, the FLW Tour, the Bassmaster, it's all been postponed. And then our local stuff here recently. I think the Corps of Engineers shut down their lakes. I will tell you there's plenty of people fishing. PB2 mm-hmm. was absolutely packed. Tournaments are all postponed. You know, I think it's probably for the best. I mean, you know, sure. That's what they're wanting. You know, you got our first tournament down here, we had 220, I think, and then 220 boats, and then the following day there was 190 something. So
when was that? When was the last time you fished in a tournament?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
I think it was two weeks ago. Yeah.
So this was already going on. At the, 2 weeks ago, it was more towards the beginning, but 2 weeks ago everything else was canceled already, sports and schools and everything else, and it made sense to me at the time that fishing tournaments were still happening because you're not gathered together in close quarters. You're on a boat with either, depending on what type of tournament it is, you could be alone in the boat. You may be with one other person, but you're certainly not in a large gathering. So I thought.
But when you do the weigh-in.
The weigh-in. Sure.
Doggone it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
that's why I quit going to Weight Watchers, too.
There it is.
It's crazy, man.
There's the humor.
Never thought this would happen.
Yeah, no kidding. So, but you said that you're at the lake as we speak. You had to come off the water because it's a little windy, and wind on the phone, on the radio, definitely does not make a good combination.
No.
But you
and
said
I was
that,
hungry, too.
Yeah, well, there you go. But you said that the water is still crowded, a lot of people out there fishing?
Oh, yeah. The parking lot, if you're familiar with PB2, the whole lower and upper lot, the lower lot was completely full. The upper lot was about half full. So my guesstimation, that's 100 or so trailers. So for a Thursday, that's pretty busy.
Yeah, no kidding. And imagine what it's going to be like throughout the weekend. That's going to be, it's not surprising because there's not a whole lot that people can do. And now that the weather has finally turned around and we're getting some nicer days, as I mentioned, fishing, when you're fishing, you're not in a crowd of people. So you are obeying the social distancing rules and you're still getting outside of the house and, doing something, so you're not cooped up. So I would imagine this is a great opportunity for some people to get out on the water that maybe haven't done so in a long
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. And Missouri's waived, I think, all fishing fees and boat ramp fees up until the middle of next month or middle of this month now that we're – so, hey, if you're from Illinois and you've never been down here, now's your chance to come down and not have to buy a day permit or a annual non-resident. So come down here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, some of the Illinois lakes are closed, period. I think they've closed a few of those lakes altogether.
Tony, if you go to a fishing tournament or you're down at the lake for a weekend, like you said, Tony, there is no restaurants open. There's no bars open. Mm-hmm. If you don't come with your provisions that you need, what do you do? Are you coming home today?
Yeah. No, I'm down here. I'm lucky enough my team partner lets me stay at his house. So we stocked up at Deerberg's here in Osage Beach, and we got whiskey and we got food, so we're good.
Have you been into the grocery stores down there? Has it hit the Lake of the Ozarks as much as it has St. Louis? Is it, you know, the same deal there? No toilet paper, no disinfectant
wipes? Yeah, we got the last roll of toilet paper batch of toilet paper, and we had plenty of it, but I figured we were there. We'd seen it. We grabbed it.
Sure. Can't blame you.
You know, they got the big sneeze guards up on the cashiers, all the employees wearing masks, the whole bit, just like at home. So,
yeah.
But they had plenty of food. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't desolate, but for whatever reason, no hand sanitizer, no toilet paper still. Yeah. So,
have they talked about how long they're going to postpone tournaments? Have they put a deadline on it, like, you know, many of the other sports organizations have?
Yeah, they're talking like mid-May, I believe, is up until then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Lake of the Ozarks without Memorial Day and Party Cove and... this world is changing. Now, I got to ask you, you know,
they do not practice proper social distancing in the Party Cove, Bo.
No, they don't. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. But, Mike, here's a question for you. I mean, you know, I've seen people, and I usually, when I go to the store, I go in with my gloves on. I haven't done the mask thing yet, but I go in, and you do see people freaking out. So my question is, are your fellow competitive fishermen and women out there, did you see anybody losing their mind about the cancellation, or was everybody just taking it in stride?
Yeah,
everybody's taking it in stride. You got your few people that are like, "Why are we canceling? You know, this is all BS or whatever." No, for the most part, everybody. I feel bad for the tournament organizations. This is how they make money,
right?
But you know, we'll all be right back as soon as they announce it. You know, I would imagine if at Lake of the Ozarks, if it gets postponed till May. Well, then it means it's going to get postponed till September because we don't fish. You know, there's no tournaments down here through the summertime. There's too many big boats out. So,
yeah,
which is fine. You know, we'll stack them on top of each other in the fall. I don't know that, but I'm just assuming that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. So
our tournaments are done by May. May is our last one. So,
yeah, I mean, the Lake of the Ozarks especially gets crazy in the summertime with the big boats and all that. We are going to talk fishing, especially in the podcast exclusive, so make sure you download that podcast this week before we run out of time on the show, Mike. What is it like right now? Forget coronavirus and all that garbage. Like I said, the weather's kind of turning around. It's a great time to get out on the water. What's it like out there right now? Is this a great time to go fishing?
Oh, if you want to come catch fish, we haven't had much success this morning, but I haven't picked up my jig yet. I've been waiting until the afternoon. Water's 55 degrees in the morning, so it'll probably be up to about 60 with the sunshine by the time the day's over, you know, and then it'll cool back off at night. Fish are wanting to move up back in the backs of these pockets to get ready to spawn. So when the trees are budding, the dogwoods are budding, once these leaves start popping, that first wave of spawners are going to come in. So, they're back there. We heard them last night just munching on shad in this cove. So it's game on. That's why I'm down here. I don't get a fun fish much. So the young man that bought my boat, my old Ranger, he's never been down here. So he's with me. And I'm going to go out and try to catch him a spotted bass because he's never caught one. So we're going to go out and do that. And you know, like I said, it's kind of a different for me. I don't have the pressure of needing to go find fish.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go fish.
Yeah, but I know you. You'll be taking notes. You never turn it off.
Yeah.
You never turn it off.
No, I won't. And they're all going to take a boat ride right back here.
Yeah.
And get released in this cove.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Hopefully my team partner's coming down. We're going to do our own little social distancing fruit jar tournament.
Right. Before we let you go, before we end the show and we move over to the podcast exclusive, tell people how they can keep up with you and watch all of your fishing. I assume you've got some videos up there now. Really cool new project. Yeah, go ahead.
We got two or three up. 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. That's his channel. We got a really cool one that sitting around, I called it Hillbillies at the Square Table, but the night before the BFL, there was three of us sitting around drinking whiskey and telling fishing stories about, like, you know, Lake Dardanelle, Table Rock, Lake of the Ozarks, and just tournament stories and talking fishing. That's a long one, too. That's like 50 minutes. So you might have to bite it off in chunks.
Oh,
and then
awesome.
Both of our BFLs, Gabe has got up there. We both of us struggled. I really struggled at Table Rock. And then I found the fish down here at Lake of the Ozarks, and I just couldn't figure out how to get him to bite. I got one 5-pounder, and that was it. But yeah, the 10 horse Monty, and man, I'm telling you that I've got a lot of comments on the hillbillies at the square table.
That's great. So when we do get back going again, when the tournaments do get going again, you guys are filming basically everything. You're filming as you're driving to the lake, and you're game planning. You're filming as you're fishing in the tournament, and then you're filming afterwards, and you're talking about all the things that you guys did right and all the things that you guys did wrong. So if you are into fishing at all and you want some entertainment and you want to gain some knowledge, make sure you're checking out Mike Marfell and 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Go and check it out. We got to wrap up the show, but we are going to talk a whole lot of fishing with Mike Marfell and the podcast exclusive. Make sure you're downloading that and the show podcast every week on the radio.com app. That is going to do it for this episode of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For my partner, Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here again next week. Be safe.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. Bo Matthews is practicing proper social distancing and is live from the Matthews compound in southern Missouri. And in just a moment here, we are going to check in with Mike Marfell, who is at the Lake of the Ozarks fishing as we speak. I am extremely jealous of that. Before we get into that, I want to remind folks to download our podcast, two podcasts of the show that we release every week. The first one goes out on Friday. That is the show podcast. So we actually release the show on podcast before it airs. So you can take it with you if you are going fishing this weekend or any other weekend, and you want to have the podcast of Second Amendment Radio, The Great Outdoors, with you. Just download it on Fridays and you have it for the entire weekend. And then on Mondays, we release our podcast exclusive, which is a conversation that you can only hear there on that podcast. And joining us in that podcast exclusive this week is Mike Marfell, who's going to be with us here in a minute. So we'll talk with Mike a little bit here on the show, and then we'll continue that conversation in the podcast exclusive. Make sure you are downloading those podcasts every week. And as Bo says, always share them as well.
Yeah, and especially if you're listening to it through the podcast right now, share it. Just think, my buddy Steve would love to hear that, you know, and share it.
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. And since we're talking to Mike, who's out fishing in the great outdoors, this segment is brought to you by
Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory, full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been in business a long time. They know what they're doing. A half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. Go on into Razorback Armory and online at RazorbackArmory.com.
So I am guilty of delivering some fake news earlier in the show. I've been promoting that Mike is coming up and talking to us and that he is at the Lake of the Ozarks fishing. And all of that is true, but I said he was fishing in a tournament this weekend that was still ongoing, but I was wrong about that. That tournament has been postponed. So, Mike, we certainly appreciate you joining us. How's it going? And give us the update. You said that even fishing tournaments now are being postponed due to this coronavirus situation. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Even the highest level, the pros, the Bass Pro Tour, the FLW Tour, the Bassmaster, it's all been postponed. And then our local stuff here recently. I think the Corps of Engineers shut down their lakes. I will tell you there's plenty of people fishing. PB2 was absolutely packed. But, yeah, tournaments are all postponed. You know, I think it's probably for the best. I mean, you know, that's what they're wanting. You know, you got our first tournament down here, we had 220, I think, and then 220 boats, and then the following day there was 190 something. So
when was that? When was the last time you fished in a tournament?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
I think it was two weeks ago. Yeah.
So this was already going on, at the, you know, 2 weeks ago. It was more towards the beginning, but 2 weeks ago, everything else was canceled already, sports and schools and everything else. And it made sense to me at the time that fishing tournaments were still happening because you're not gathered together in close quarters. You're on a boat with either, you know, depending on what type of tournament it is, you could be alone in the boat. You may be with one other person, but you're certainly not in a large gathering. So I thought.
But when you do the weigh-in.
The weigh-in. Sure.
Doggone it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
that's why I quit going to Weight Watchers, too.
Yeah.
There it is.
It's crazy, man.
There's the humor.
I never thought that this would happen. Never thought this would happen.
Yeah, no kidding. So, but you said that you're at the lake as we speak. You had to come off the water because it's a little windy, and wind on the phone, on the radio, definitely does not make a good combination.
No.
But you
and
said
I was
that,
hungry, too.
Yeah, well, there you go. But you said that the water is still crowded. A lot of people out there fishing?
Oh, yeah. The parking lot, well, if you're familiar with PB2, the whole lower and upper lot, the lower lot was completely full. The upper lot was about half full. So my guesstimation, that's 100 or so trailers. So for a Thursday, that's pretty busy.
Yeah, no kidding. And imagine what it's going to be like throughout the weekend. That's going to be, I mean, and you can't. It's not surprising because there's not a whole lot that people can do. And now that the weather has finally turned around and we're getting some nicer days, as I mentioned, you know, fishing, when you're fishing, you're not in a crowd of people. So you are obeying the social distancing rules and you're still getting outside of the house and, you know, in doing something, you know, so you're not cooped up. So I would imagine this is a great opportunity for some people to get out on the water that maybe haven't done so in a long
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. And Missouri's waived, I think, all fishing fees and boat ramp fees up until the middle of next month or middle of this month now that we're. So, hey, if you're from Illinois and you've never been down here, now's your chance to come down and not have to buy a day permit or a annual non-resident. So come down here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, some of the Illinois lakes are closed, period. I think they've closed a few of those lakes altogether.
Tony, if you go to a fishing tournament or you're down at the lake for a weekend, like you said, Tony, there is no restaurants open. There's no bars open. Mm-hmm. If you don't come with your provisions that you need, what do you do? Are you coming home today?
Yeah. No, I'm down here. I'm lucky enough my team partner lets me stay at his house. So we stocked up at Deerberg's here in Osage Beach, and we got whiskey and we got food, so we're good.
Have you been into the grocery stores down there? Has it hit the Lake of the Ozarks as much as it has St. Louis? Is it, you know, the same deal there? No toilet paper, no disinfectant
wipes? Got the last roll of toilet paper batch of toilet paper. And we had plenty of it, but I figured we were there. We'd seen it. We grabbed it.
Sure. Can't blame you.
You know, they got the big sneeze guards up on the cashiers, all the employees wearing masks, the whole bit, just like at home. So, but they had plenty of food. It wasn't desolate, but for whatever reason, no hand sanitizer, no toilet paper still. Yeah. So
have they talked about how long they're going to postpone tournaments? Have they put a deadline on it? Like, you know, many of the other, sports organizations have.
They're talking like mid May, I believe is up until then,
can you imagine can you imagine Lake of the Ozarks without Memorial Day and Party Cove and this world is changing. Now I gotta ask you, you know,
not practice proper social distancing in the Party Cove, Bo.
They don't. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. But Mike, here's a question for you. I mean, you know, I've seen people, and I usually, when I go to the store, I go in with my gloves on. I haven't done the mask thing yet, but I go in and you do see people freaking out. So my question is, are your fellow competitive fishermen and women out there, did you see anybody losing their mind about the cancellation, or was everybody just taking it in stride?
Yeah,
everybody's taking it in stride. You got your few people that are like, why are we canceling? You know, this is all BS or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But
right.
No, for the most part, everybody, I feel bad for the tournament organizations. This is how they make money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, you know, we'll all be right back as soon as they announce it. You know, I would imagine if at Lake of the Ozarks, if it gets postponed till May, well, then it means it's going to get postponed till September because we don't fish. You know, there's no tournaments down here through the summertime.
Mm.
There's too many big boats out. So,
yeah,
which is fine. you know, we'll stack them on top of each other in the fall. Mm. I don't know that, but I'm just assuming that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So
our tournaments are done by May. May is our last one. So
yeah, I mean, the Lake of the Ozarks especially gets crazy in the summertime with the big boats and all that. We are going to talk fishing, especially in the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that podcast this week before we run out of time on the show, Mike. What is it like right now? Forget coronavirus and all that garbage. Like I said, it's the weather's kind of turning around. It's a great time to get out on the water. What's it like out there right now? Is this a great time to go fishing?
Oh, if you want to come catch fish, we haven't had much success this morning, but I haven't picked up my jig yet. I've been waiting until the afternoon. Water's 55 degrees in the morning, so it'll probably be up to about 60 with the sunshine by the time the day's over, you know, and then it'll cool back off at night. Fish are wanting to move up back in the backs of these pockets to get ready to spawn. So when the trees are budding, the dogwoods are budding, once these leaves start popping, that first wave of spawners are going to come in. So they're back there. We heard them last night just munching on shad in this cove. So it's game on. That's nice. Why I'm down here. I don't get a fun fish much. So the young man that bought my boat, my old Ranger, he's never been down here. So he's with me. And I'm going to go out and try to catch him a spotted bass because he's never caught one. So we're going to go out and do that. And you know, like I said, it's kind of a different for me. I don't have the pressure of needing to go find fish.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go fish.
Yeah, but I know you. You'll be taking notes. You never turn it off.
Yeah.
You never turn it off.
No, I won't. And they're all going to take a boat ride right back here.
Yeah.
Get released in this coast.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Hopefully my team partner's coming down. We're going to do our own little social distancing fruit jar tournament.
Right. Before we let you go, before we end the show and we move over to the podcast exclusive, tell people how they can keep up with you and watch all of your fishing. I assume you've got some videos up there now. Really cool new project. Yeah, go ahead.
We got two or three up. 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. That's his channel. We got a really cool one that sitting around, I called it Hillbillies at the Square Table, but the night before the BFL, there was three of us sitting around drinking whiskey and telling fishing stories about Lake, you know, Lake Dardanelle, Table Rock, Lake of the Ozarks, and just tournament stories and talking fishing. That's a long one, too. That's like 50 minutes, so
nice.
You might have to bite it off in chunks.
Oh, that's
and then
awesome.
Both of our BFLs, Gabe has got up there. Both of us struggled. I really struggled at Table Rock. And then I found the fish down here at Lake of the Ozarks, and I just couldn't figure out how to get him to bite. I got 1 5-pounder, and that was it. The 10 Horse Monty, and man, I'm telling you that I've got a lot of comments on the Hillbillies at the Square Table.
That's great. So when we do get back going again, when the tournaments do get going again, you guys are filming basically everything. You're filming as you're driving to the lake, and you're game planning. You're filming as you're fishing in the tournament, and then you're filming afterwards, and you're talking about all the things that you guys did right and all the things that you guys did wrong. So if you are into fishing at all and you want some entertainment and you want to gain some knowledge, make sure you're checking out Mike Marfell and 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Go and check it out. We got to wrap up the show, but we are going to talk a whole lot of fishing with Mike Marfell in the podcast exclusive. Make sure you're downloading that and the show podcast every week on the radio.com app. That is going to do it for this episode of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For my partner, Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here again next week. Be safe.
Get more at 971talk.com.